you listen to many popular financial gurus today, they will encourage families to skip Catholic or homeschooling options and take advantage of free public schools so they can work more and achieve their financial goals faster. We disagree, and we'll share why on this episode of The Catholic Money Show.
Education choices for our children abound today. Would you not agree, Jonathan?
Absolutely. And they are not all created equal.
No, they are not all created equal. And it really does depend sometimes on where you live and kind of that surrounding culture. Mm-hmm. And more over the last 2 years, especially, Catholic families have been coming to us saying that the public schools in their area, so that their surrounding culture, they are no longer a viable option for their children, or they don't want them to be, but they feel stuck, like they have to continue.
Or they wish they wouldn't be a viable option.
They wish they would be, because it could really help if it was.
Yeah.
But they no longer feel like it is.
It doesn't seem like it's going to work for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, before we dive into this sensitive topic, huge just caveat, don't mishear us. Don't come at me online saying the Texera said it's sinful to send your children to public school in all circumstances. Stop that. That's not what we're about to say. Public school could be a good option for a Catholic family in certain parts of the country, or maybe you have kids with certain disabilities and only the public school is actually going to be able to service your kid to the degree that they need. Or maybe it's really the only viable option. You got one public school in your area, and to drive to a private or a Catholic school would be 90 minutes away. And for whatever reason, homeschooling just can't be done by your family. Mm-hmm. Okay. I understand. We are in the age of everybody, you know, if somebody comes out with a statement, everybody's got to come in and give their reason why it doesn't apply to them. Just know that I'm not throwing down a blanket saying that this is applicable to everybody under the sun. Okay. The Catholic Church is a big wide umbrella. But I would say we are speaking in this episode to families who desire something else. Mm-hmm. They feel stuck at public school due to the expense of another option, or they feel guilty choosing another option since public school would lighten their family's financial load. Okay, these are the families that we are speaking to.
Yes.
And before we get into the conversation, I think it just makes sense that we pull in some framing from the church, mm-hmm, and her perspective around education. And we're going to talk about that. But I wanted to read, or maybe you could read it, Jonathan, a section from the Catechism 2223.
Sure. It says, parents have the first responsibility for the education of their children. They bear witness to this responsibility first by creating a home where tenderness, forgiveness, respect, fidelity, and disinterested service are the rule. The home is well suited for education in the virtues. This requires an apprenticeship in self-denial, sound judgment, and self-mastery, the preconditions of all true freedom. Parents should teach their children to subordinate the material and instinctual dimensions to interior and spiritual ones. Parents have a grave responsibility to give good example to their children. By knowing how to acknowledge their own failings to their children, parents will be better able to guide and correct them. Dang.
That's amazing. I know you had another reading from the church. Is that later
that's
on?
Later
you
on.
Want to
that's
share
later
that?
On. Okay. Yeah.
This is huge.
I mean, there's a couple episodes right there, I think.
Right. Oh, yeah. We could just take this and unpack it for the next four episodes. But it essentially, I have heard people take this first part of the section. Parents have the first responsibility for the education of their children. And they go ahead and they say, see, this is why homeschooling is the only option and there is no other option. Mm. And that is obviously false. Mm-hmm. That's false. We are homeschoolers. Well, hybrid homeschoolers. Mm-hmm. We believe God is calling us to homeschool. But I don't think that this sentence means what maybe some people want it to mean. Mm. No matter what, whether you're homeschooling, whether you choose Catholic, private, Christian schooling, or you choose public schooling, this first sentence is always true.
Absolutely.
Parents have the first responsibility for the education of their children. Mm-hmm. If you don't choose to homeschool and you've discerned something else, fine. You have not abdicated this responsibility and you never will.
You can't.
You can't. It's part of your duty.
Mm-hmm. Because education happens all the time outside of the classroom. So it's in the very life that we lead is what helps educate our children. Mm-hmm. The life that we live with them.
Yes. If anything, what the catechism is saying is here is that our domestic church, you know, our family, this is where we are giving them an education in the virtues. And really, all other education, academics, social, etc., things that maybe going to a school or you use in your homeschooling curriculum, etc., they build on what you are already doing in your classroom of the home. Mm. And that can never, it just, that can't be stressed enough. But I don't think a lot of parents understand that they have this responsibility, nor, you know, they're working during the day or they're tired and they're exhausted. And I get it. And then there's just this lack of intentionality then that this is really the onus is on them. No, you know, oh, I'm outsourcing their education. No. It's starting in the home. It's primarily at home. A grave responsibility to give our children good example. And so that fundamental shift is so huge that we had to share that at the beginning of our conversation, just because it's that important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, I mean, those are some strong words. Grave responsibility to give a good example. If you think about this, it says, I'm jumping up earlier, but that this education in the virtues requires an apprenticeship in self-denial, sound judgment, and self-mastery.
Apprenticeship.
The kids are the apprentices. Mm-hmm. Which means we need to be the masters.
Which means we need to be... As adults, are we practicing self-denial? Are we practicing good judgment? Are we mastering ourselves?
And to the extent that someone could apprentice under us.
Right. That's challenging. You know, is your kid coming up to you being like, why are you on the phone again? Mm-hmm. Or do they see a parent who has boundaries with a phone so that the kid even knows, oh yeah, she's only on social media an hour a day, and then it locks her out. And they get to witness that. They get to see that, you know, just in these human virtues, if you will. Okay, let's move on. So we've gotten that addressed. Mm-hmm. We've addressed the caveat. You know, this episode is mostly for families who want something else. You're dissatisfied with what options you have right now. And you feel maybe stuck at a public school because other options are expensive. You know, if you're going to homeschool, a lot of times it doesn't always have to happen this way, but a lot of times it means one income family. Not always the case. A lot of people are now doing, you know, one income and then kind of half an income from like a side hustle or part-time hours. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. happens. I know people who do two incomes, but they flip-flop schedules.
Sure.
Or it's one spouse is in a medical career and maybe they work on weekends. Etc. It can happen, but it oftentimes tends to be a one income situation. Or maybe families that feel guilty, like, okay, we are homeschooling, we are prioritizing Catholic education, but you know what? It's really sucking the budget dry and we're not making a ton of progress on getting out of debt or saving for emergencies or that house we should buy. And so maybe we should do a free option because our tax dollars pay for it. And so now because they feel guilted that they ought to be pursuing these financial goals, they're considering an option that maybe they don't really want to. Those are the families we're speaking to. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned it at the beginning, this idea that you'll hear a lot of advice out there pushing people that direction too. Hey, why are you spending all this money on private school? You could be using that to get out of debt or save up for this or whatever it is. Or even when you go to college to, you know, live in the basement, do all your classes at the community college for as long as possible, and then jump up to the nearest, cheapest state school for as little time as possible to get the degree.
While you're still preferably living in the basement.
Yes. And so, and this, again, I guess we need another disclaimer. This isn't to say, well,
that can't happen.
Don't do that, or do the absolute opposite of that.
Right.
And go to the most expensive school and take out all the loans and stay there for 6 years for your undergrad.
In an obsolete career field.
Yes. We're not saying that either. But I think you get this variety, or you would get advice on that end of the spectrum when you don't understand all that education is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. And again, I have not heard anybody talk about this in the way that we're about to talk about this. And I think it really does just boil down to our Catholic worldview and how we see and view education. Almost anybody else that I can think of that is in our field, personal finance, Christian, non-Christian, etc., they would say, oh yeah, what are you doing? Why are you sending your kids to a private school? Why are you homeschooling when you could be doing this financial goal faster or easier? Why are you making life harder on yourself? We're kind of the exception here, and we're going to tell you why. And we're not going to tell you to be imprudent in this, but we are going to talk to you about why it's a mistake to fall for that. The first place I want to start is just by acknowledging that after your relationship with God and your marriage, educating your children is your number one priority. We just saw it in the catechism. We have other church documents that we can lean on to enlighten us in this fact. And I think we're going to read a few of those in a little bit. But when I say that, it doesn't mean just school.
Absolutely not. Yeah, school only touches on so much of it. And if we only focus on school and what school gets us to, then we lose a huge portion of what education is. So if we're looking, if we boil it down to a very utilitarian view, then you go to school when you're a kid, sure, to learn some things, but really to get out of the house so mom and dad can work.
Daycare.
Then when you're older, well, you need to go to high school, some would say, maybe a little more cynical, to keep you out of the labor pool longer. But you need to go to high school so that you can go to college, and you need to go to college to get the degree, maybe to get the job, or more and more to get the degree so that then you can go get another degree to then hopefully go get the job. So all of this is to go get the job.
Job training.
That's what it is.
It's just a conveyor belt into your job, into your career.
Yes.
And that's in one way, it's true. There's a small view.
That's the way, a big chunk of things have been set up that way, yes.
But yeah, you're right. It's a utilitarian view of education. But I would say that's pretty much reflected in what we're seeing nowadays.
And if you view education very utilitarianly, well then, yeah. If I just need this to go get the job, well, I'm going to figure out the cheapest, most efficient way to do this. Why do I need to go to, you know, that's a whole other thing, but there'd be certificate programs. There's, you know, okay, all right, we need to get this this bachelor's degree. How do we get there faster and cheaper? Yeah, let's do that.
Or you'd mentioned, you touched on it of, I got to go back to work. So as soon as my child is, you know, three, I'm putting them in preschool. And they're just going to be now out of my hair for the next 15 years because I have this thing that I can put them in while I can go work. And that's another faulty view. It might be, for those who choose a school, that might be reality, but it can't be the reason we choose it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's just, it's not, that's not a good enough reason to choose that for our children. There's got to be other things that we are choosing in addition to, this happens to be really convenient and I get to go work now.
Yeah, the same way that that's there. Well, yeah, the job training aspect of it is there as well. But that doesn't mean it's the only thing there. If we treat education as getting the prerequisites for the job I'm looking for, then we are cheating education of what it is or what it could be.
Yeah. So let's dive into talking a little bit more about that. A lot of Catholic schools, you know, they'll provide different types of education. And this is more at the collegiate level. But you'll hear a term often of, you know, we teach liberal arts or we do the classics. And when you start hearing, these are kind of buzzwords nowadays.
Sure.
And when I hear these things, what they're really trying to convey is something, they're trying to say that we educate from something deeper. This is not just memorize, regurgitate on a test situations. Mm-hmm. And what they're trying to say is that the goal of education is to develop the whole person.
Absolutely.
Including their spiritual, their intellectual, their physical, their psychological, their social, their moral, their religious capacities, to develop somebody as an entire person. And that has to be completely integrated all together and preferably integrated in our faith. Mm-hmm. And that is that's where the public school system falls short. And mom and dad could make up to that to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. But this human formation needs to be at the forefront of education as Catholics.
Yeah. One of the benefits that we see of doing this homeschool hybrid thing that we're doing is that the kids get to have this opportunity to follow directions from someone else.
I love that.
To be in an environment with other children, and, you know, younger than them, older than them, their same age, and interact with them, learn how to do that well. So there's a lot of things, but never once did I just mention, oh, well, the math curriculum.
Never.
And the science. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Never. We see all these. There's so many other benefits there. Mm-hmm. Or even in the homeschool volleyball team that you coach, one of the big takeaways,
we're undefeated. I had to slip that in. The 8 and 9 year old girls.
So there's certainly the athletic excellence part of it, but you've been talking about how you've witnessed it, or even as assistant coach, you've participated in the character formation of these girls.
Yeah. How to speak with one another, how to encourage each other, how to correct each other or call each other out, how to ask forgiveness when maybe you were a little harsh with a teammate, how to forgive a teammate that maybe hurt your feelings. These are all part of the whole of what we're trying to do here, in addition to winning games and so playing our best.
There's so much to education. It is forming the whole person. The church teaches, so this is it's from St. Pope Paul VI in Gravissimum Educationis.
How's your Latin?
You can tell I didn't take Latin in high school or any school for that matter. But it says, for a true education aims at the formation of the human person in pursuit of his ultimate end and of the good of the societies of which, as man, he is a member and in whose obligations as an adult he will share.
In the pursuit of his ultimate end and the good of society.
So his ultimate end.
Heaven.
So education for aims at the formation of the human person in pursuit of them getting to heaven. And along the way, the good of the society in which they are a member and who they have obligations to because they're living in it.
Yeah, the common good.
The common good.
Mm-hmm.
That is education.
That is education.
And if we're only worried about math and, I mean,
is this going to be have enough AP classes in the curriculum?
Ooh, yeah.
Is this going to, you know, what's the status symbol that this school is going to give me? How many marks on my kids? Yeah. How many ways can I one up that other family so that we can be ahead academically, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If that's what you're looking at, you're probably missing the real point of education. Mm-hmm. Not saying that we're going to celebrate mediocrity and that you shouldn't challenge your kids to do as excellent in their work as possible, but those should not be our pursuit. Mm-hmm. It just misses it if we hone in on just the academic at the exclusion of all the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny, Mal, this is all kind of turning into a volleyball episode. But again, in terms of this homeschool volleyball team, we were talking with a friend of ours who their daughters also do this. They've been doing it for a while, about the costs of the program. There's financial costs.
Yep.
There's time costs.
Yes.
You know, the practices twice a week and the games and all mm-hmm. this. And then for them, that time cost is even higher because they live farther away.
Yep.
And she was telling us about those costs.
Yeah. And she essentially just said, you know, as homeschooling families, we're going to be paying somewhere in either our time or in our resources, you know, our financial resources, but what's the trade-off? What's the benefit?
What's the other costs?
What are the other costs? Like, let's say we chose to just, we didn't want to drive. And so we just let our kids make friends in the neighborhood that were maybe subpar in their moral compass. Well, that's a massive cost for now my children. Mm-hmm. Or I decided to send them to a school that was so out of alignment with our worldview that my child's soul has now been jeopardized because they've left the faith because their friends influenced them negatively. Mm-hmm. Well, my gosh, do I wish I would have paid $300 or driven 30 minutes to get them involved in a formation of the human person that exposed them to the academics or to the athletics, but to people and situations that were going to build and help me do what I'm trying to do as a parent. There's always going to be a cost. And if you're just looking at what's going to be the cheapest to me and what's going to be the closest, well, sometimes the cost then is our own children.
Woo! Dang, girl.
So, boom. There we go. Wow. So we're going to sign up for homeschool basketball now, even though it's going to be a 30-minute drive.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's wrap up this section.
But that's exactly, there's a cost.
There is a cost.
There's the financial cost. There's time cost. There's like spiritual cost.
Yeah, there is.
Or benefit to all these things. Yes. Cost and benefit.
You just have to know what you're paying.
And if we ignore everything except the financial cost or benefit, mm-hmm. we're cheating ourselves.
Yes.
And we can make a terrible decision.
Yes.
And this is education, which we're talking about all sorts of things, all sorts of opportunities. Almost every choice that we're making has a cost.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about some of those. The last part thing that I wanted to round out this section with, of just what makes the Catholic worldview and how we see education maybe different than any other worldview and how it approaches education. And it comes down to this. I think as Catholics, we view education as teaching us how to think and engage with the world instead of what to think. Mm. It's just such a fundamental shift. In so many places, we're just being crammed an agenda down our throats and we're just supposed to receive it and regurgitate it. Instead, the church is always trying to get us to teach us how to think so that when we enter any situation, we can discern and understand it properly, integrated completely with who we are as persons and who our Lord is. Instead of, I'm on this conveyor belt that's now just going to cram things down into my mind and teach me what to think and how to think. It's never going to teach me, I think I mixed that up there. But it's going to teach me what to think about things instead of teach me the skills I need in order to think about it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, yeah, we could go round and round about that in general. But if no matter what you choose for your family, that one is something we have to pay attention to as Catholics. If we're sending our children into a situation where it's not teaching them how to think about the world, we automatically need to have our flags go up. are red flags. This is scary situation. This is dangerous territory, because that could get incompatible with our belief system really, really quickly.
Sure. So we talked about these different types of costs, the importance of true, deep, meaningful education. But we can't ignore the financial costs.
Nope. They are there.
So it doesn't matter. This could be like the perfect school and it costs $100 million a semester.
Yes.
I'm not going to send our kids to it.
Or I literally saw, I was just curious, like a Catholic school out in California, a high school. It was literally $65,000 a year.
For high school?
For one child. That's off, unless you're in the 1%. That doesn't make sense.
It still might not. $65,000.
I literally, I was like, I need to call this school up and we need to talk about how accessible are you making this
Holy
to families.
Smokes.
Yikes. But yes, so we're going to talk about that. Some, what are acceptable trade-offs and what are some unacceptable trade-offs? Because at the end of the day, you do need to think about your financial reality. It's not nothing. Mm-hmm. It is one kind of grain of sand, if you will, that you're going to be putting on the scale along with all the other things. It matters. And so we're going to talk about, let's just flesh out a few practical situations that could help people discern.
Because if the financial cost is too high for you, you're going to be so stressed out and mad, and the whole thing that we talked about earlier.
Yep, it could compromise all that.
Having a home well-suited for education and the virtues is out the window.
Oh, yeah. You're a stressed out jerk.
So you're like, yeah.
Panicked.
So paying too high a financial cost for even a great education can put the fundamental education of your children at risk.
Yeah. Yep. So you have to weigh things prudently. And we have episodes on discernment, so that comes in here too. But let's give a few examples.
Sure.
Okay. All right. So I send my kid to this Catholic school, and it's going to mean that it is going to take us 2 years to pay off our debt instead of if we sent them to the public school and we'll get it done in one. It's just going to be one more year.
Do it to it.
This is an example of a no-brainer trade-off. It's just 2 years instead of one. So easy in this discernment. Why would you not choose that option? Mm-hmm. It's easy. It's a softball.
I think about it. I don't know what it was I thought about earlier. But you're saying, oh, it's a year. It's 2 years, you know. I can think back. Even into elementary school, you know.
Thought 2 months was forever?
No. And thinking, if I was in a different environment for those 2 years, what would things be like? Right?
Interesting.
Wouldn't have made friends with that kid who I probably shouldn't have.
Sure. Yeah.
Wouldn't have, you know. There's a lot of things going on. So even that short time frame can even be important.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Now, on the other hand, if sending your kid to this school or kids means that you'll never become debt free and you might not even be able to pay your bills month to month.
Unacceptable.
You probably shouldn't go to that school.
And the reason why it's not acceptable is that it violates our duty as parents to provide for those entrusted to our care. Is that Rerum Novarum?
Think so.
Maybe
the catechism.
Okay. But it explicitly says that we are to take care of those under our charge. Mm-hmm. Even scripture says this. If you don't provide for those under your care, you're worse than an unbeliever. And so this is send them to this school and now the lights went out on your home or you were not able to feed your kids. Not an acceptable trade-off. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to another example.
So let's send him to school. Let's talk about homeschool.
Let's talk about homeschool. And maybe if it means one income.
I think a lot of the time it does.
It does most of the time.
Because somebody's got to be schooling.
Yes. And that doesn't just take 2 seconds. It does in the early years.
Yes, and but then you actually have to teach them things when they get older.
It's second, third grade, the tables turn.
It's real math.
Yeah, so let's say homeschooling means one income. And so maybe the trade-off here is, all right, we're going to live simply and intentionally, but all of our obligations are met. We're still able to give about 10%. And our children, they still also have opportunities to a well-rounded education of the human person that includes not only the academics that we're going to go after, but also their giftedness. So whether that's athletics or music or the arts, we can't exclude that. I love Mike and Alicia Hernan will talk about that even when they're teaching families to talk about their budgets. I'm going to butch it right now if I try it on the podcast, but essentially your financial priorities should be, butcher it. I screw up phrases so much. It's kind of, it's like God and then your marriage. It goes down the list, but on one of the things that you ought to be prioritizing is your children's giftedness.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you just leave not a penny for any of that or not an opportunity for any of that, that's not okay.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they're making plans for the year and all this stuff.
Yes, it doesn't mean they're playing on it. They're not playing on a traveling team. That's not where you have to go with it. But you do need to make that a priority. So in this situation, this family's living simply. They're still giving. Their kids do have access to that well-rounded education and the giftedness. Well, you know what? You're going to be living simply and intentionally. And that's going to mean there probably won't be a lot of wiggle room. But this is an absolutely acceptable trade-off.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to make some sacrifices. But if this is what you'd like to do to prioritize and protect the ability to homeschool, this is absolutely a good trade-off. Now, let's talk about
On the other hand. Going down to that one income, maybe that will mean, though, that you live perpetually on government assistance, on credit cards. You're hardly being able to give anything, and you're scraping by to provide the basic necessities. So you're not having those additional formation opportunities of the athletics and the music and the arts and all that stuff. We're at home and it's school.
Mm-hmm.
It's homeschool.
Yeah. That would not be an acceptable trade-off.
No, it would not.
And I do want to add a tiny caveat there of, I'm not saying that government assistance is a sin. It's not.
Absolutely.
It's okay for certain seasons, but it's not a long-term plan. Or at least it ought not to be. It's not going to bring peace to your family if the plan is that for the next 25 years, we're on government assistance.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to be good for you. In a season, even if it's a couple of years, fine. But this is not a long-term strategy that I would recommend for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something to going out, working, making your living that's good for us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are times when all sorts of things could be happening and we're not able to do it to the degree that we would like to.
Yep.
That's where where a lot of this is designed to help you out for a bit.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's fantastic. It helps bring a lot of stability to families.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, being on there for decades probably isn't that great. Also,
those
programs are going to change all the time.
They change.
So you're just going to have an additional uncertainty a whole different breed of uncertainty than you are in other parts of your life.
It can honestly cause scandal and actually make our culture even more anti-life than it already is.
Oh, sure.
Looking for any possible opportunity to say, see, you've got a bunch of kids and you can't even afford them. And again, some big families ought to sometimes use government assistance in appropriate situations. But again, it's not a long-term plan. It's not a long-term play.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen, you know, in some of those fundamentalist Mormon groups that I think were busted up a few years ago down in Arizona, I think, or maybe, I don't know the whole situation, but one of the things that they, how they found this group was essentially that, because the men had only one wife, but they had like
legally had
30 yeah. spiritual wives. Those women were essentially, you know, single moms, mm-hmm. but they had a lot of children, and they were essentially just using this as a way to bleed the government dry, essentially on benefits. And this was how their community provided for itself instead of actually contributing in a meaningful way. And so there is an appropriate and good and responsible way to use government assistance. And I would advocate for that if it's really going to help your family, but it's not a long-term game plan. Mm-hmm. And I would not advocate for homeschoolers sitting around high-fiving each other that they, you know, they greased the government. Yet again, you know, it's just not, it's not a good example, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. to sit there and just be pulling the strings about how you, you know, you really got it on Uncle Sam. Is that the right phrase?
Yeah, that works.
Uncle Sam. Is that the government?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we, yeah, so there's government assistance, but also don't be scared of or too proud to or whatever. Look into other forms of assistance.
Mm. Yes.
You know, there's if you've listened to the podcast enough, you've heard an episode or two about when Wallet Wing got started because I lost my job.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pretty rocky start there for a while.
Understatement of the century.
We didn't even, at least I, didn't even think about, let alone government assistance, but St. Vincent de Paul,
right,
or Catholic Charities, or the multitude of other organizations that exist in this world to help people who need a little bit of help.
We ought to have looked into
we
it.
We needed some help.
We had emergency savings and we lived off of that. And somehow the Lord came through and provided for everything we needed.
Yes, he did.
And so, you know what? Those who maybe didn't have emergency savings were able to be helped.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. That we were happy that we had that. But it was painful. It was a painful year. Living simply might be sounding...
Simply living.
That sounds like luxury compared to how that first year of business looked. We were living so basic. It was... It was quite humbling, but it was so good. I'm so proud of that year, actually.
Yeah, it worked out.
And just that served as the bedrock for our business. So,
but I would encourage, if you're listening to this, and you, we're just trying to throw out these examples, right? And we have to make it so one is like, oh, yeah, that works. The other one, oh, yeah, that really doesn't work. Maybe you're on the bubble. Maybe.
Yeah, right.
Maybe having a little bit of assistance, however it might come to you and from whomever it may come, is really going to help.
Yep.
And make certain things possible that wouldn't otherwise be.
Absolutely.
And so that could be that way. It could also be like reaching out to the school.
There's tuition assistance.
See what they've got going on.
Yeah, there's tuition. Even at that $65,000 a year Catholic high school in California, mm-hmm. they had a statistic that, you know, 10% of our families don't pay anything. And then I just saw yesterday, I forget where it was, maybe a Time magazine article, that Princeton is now not going to charge families. If somebody gets in and their family makes less than $100,000, they don't have to pay at all.
Wow.
Now you got to get into Princeton. And if you don't, if you're not a current donor or an alumni, it's going to get really, really hard to do that. But in theory, this looks really good. But I do think some kids that are extremely academically gifted and their families don't earn a high income, they're going to be able to take advantage of that. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There's options like that. There's scholarships. There's tuition assistance opportunities. There's work opportunities. Even at the Catholic high school I went to, you know, you could stay after and empty the trash in the classrooms for just an hour.
No kidding.
Yeah, I think my brother did that.
Huh.
Might have done. I never did that.
Hmm.
I played sports. He did tuition assistance.
That was his, saving money was his sport.
Yeah. But there's always an option. Mm-hmm. And you just never know. This is why a lot of schools, especially private schools, will have fundraisers during the year. They are socking away money so that they could help literally anybody who really wanted to go here. They could make it possible. Even hybrid programs have that.
Mm-hmm.
So, if it's a private entity, it oftentimes will have some ability to have donor dollars, and they want to help families who want to make this an option and who feel stuck and trapped in a different way, but want to go ahead and see this become a reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might find yourself stuck thinking you've only got these two paths in front of you. But instead of just giving up and giving in to this false dichotomy that is before you, think what might be another possible way forward. Mm-hmm. How might we provide this education that we want to without going broke? Mm-hmm. How could we do this for this much a month instead of whatever it is? Or how can we, man, if we made an extra $400 a month, I think this would all work out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how might we find $400 more a month?
And that brings me to the next option. Another lever that you could pull to make this an option would be side hustles. So that parent who maybe is going to be staying home and doing most of the homeschooling, or if it's a one income family and you're prioritizing Catholic schooling, but it's just a little bit of a pinch, a side hustle. And you know what? We are in the day and age of side hustles. Everybody's got a side hustle now, and some of them are more lucrative than others. So, you know, I encourage you to do one that's going to bring you as much profit with as little time possible. We teach these inside of our WalletWin Academy. I literally just taught how I made a couple $100 an hour doing thrift store arbitrage. And if you don't know what that means, it's a fancy word of saying I went into a thrift store, found a ton of really good deals, and I sold them for a lot more money somewhere else. But that's a skill. And that's one that, you know, what we probably would like, we don't really need it, if you will, if, you know, our business provides us an income.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just something Amanda is really good at. And then I do that. And then our family has a couple hundred extra dollars a month that we usually use on maybe family outings, or lately it's been adoption expenses.
Mm-hmm.
We usually use it for kind of whatever's discretionary at that time, whatever, if we're trying to do some, you know, save up for something as a family or pursue adoption. That's kind of where those go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a little extra.
Yeah, well, one time it was like souvenir money or something for
Disney
or something like
no,
that.
No, it was our eating money at Disney and
there
our souvenir money.
Yeah.
But this could be a viable option for you. A side hustle, a well-chosen side hustle. I hear people doing drop shipping. I hear people making hot chocolate cocoa bombs. People selling things in craft fairs. You could get your family involved.
Mm-hmm.
You could have one kid come over a week and you just babysit an extra kid.
Mm-hmm.
The options are so limitless nowadays is what I'm trying to get at here. It doesn't mean you have to go become a freelance writer or your one idea of a side hustle that you heard from a friend. You can really find something that is right up your alley with your interests, your skills, and your availability.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, that's just an option.
Yeah. Another reason I want you to be thinking about in evaluating this and trying to find that other way forward is things might feel a lot tighter. Things might feel like, oh man, I don't think there's the money for this. Some of that might be, you just got to tighten things up. You got to pay a little bit more attention.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be budgeting. Maybe start budgeting. Maybe pay Absolutely. Attention to it a little
Minimum.
Bit more. So you have a more comprehensive financial game plan. You're thinking about it more. You're being more intentional across the board.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to help you make every dollar you have do more work for you.
Yes.
And some of that, maybe you'll free up a couple of those Georges to go over to the school and take care of tuition.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that you mentioned a comprehensive financial game plan, because so many people, they think, oh, I've got one or two things going, so we're fine. You know, we budget, and that's really all we do. It's just not enough. You need a budget. We recommend YNAB. You need a budget. That's the name of the software. You do. But the budget is a tool that you use to move and make progress towards your next best financial goal. It in itself is not a goal. It's just a skill that you need to have for the management of money. And it is what makes everything else happen and possible. So if you're just budgeting every month, great, fine. What are you doing? What is the budget making possible for you? Is it cracking open the door to make it possible to go to Catholic school or to homeschool? Is it giving you the opportunity to know how much you can pay towards debt? Is it helping you save for that emergency fund? You can't just have this silo of a budget and then I don't have anything else going for us. It has to be part of a bigger picture, part of a bigger system. And that's what we teach inside our Catholic Money, a course that's located inside of our WalletWin membership, our Catholic Money Academy. A lot of words there I threw at you. They're all jumbled in the same spot in my brain. But this is what we teach. We don't want you to just have a silo one-off skill. We want you to have a real comprehensive game plan where everything kind of works together and everything's kind of supporting each other.
I'm thinking about a really good athlete, maybe a gymnast.
Okay.
When they're doing their thing, they are in control of like the whole body.
Yes.
They are telling the toes what to do, their knees, they got the arms tucked the right way. Everything is doing exactly what they are telling it to do because they've trained and they've practiced and it's just become a skill that they have and I do not.
Sure.
I could watch it. I can think. I could be told you need to do this and this and this and this and this. Okay, got it. And then I try to
dive in the water,
jump off the diving board or whatever. It's bad. It doesn't look as pretty. It probably hurts a whole lot more because I just don't have those skills built up.
Yeah.
With money, it's the same thing where you build up the skill of budgeting. You build up thinking, oh, yeah, I don't need to pay that much for that kind of a thing. Oh, I could fix that. Like, there's so many little money muscles that you don't even know existed before, and then you've strengthened them, and you're moving them, and you're doing it all the time. That's what this comprehensive game plan can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it helps you develop these skills you didn't even know were possible and existed, and then you're doing it without even thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last, certainly not least, as far as a strategy that you might be able to pull to make something, you know, an alternative education option happen, would be we are in the rise of co-ops and hybrids. And it's been fun to see. I think that it's going to be the new trend, if you will. I see a lot more Catholic schools linked to parishes over the next 20 years. A lot of them are probably going to shift more to the classical model we're starting to see become really popular in Catholic schools. We might even see some of them embracing the hybrid option. And so I think that over the next 20, 25 years, we're going to see a huge shift in a lot of these things. But even right now, co-ops and hybrids exist, and we are part of one of them. Mm-hmm. And we are what are called drop-off parents. But we could, if we had discerned this as the best fit for our family, become parents who also work at the hybrid. And so on Mondays and Thursdays, when our kids go to the center, instead of just dropping them off, that those are the days that I work on WalletWin and Jonathan and I do things together. That's why we're drop-off parents. But if I had other days that I could work, well, I could work at the hybrid school and I could be an assistant, or I could
be the tutor for fourth grade.
I could be the tutor for a particular grade or a classroom. I could work in some administrative capability, and the money that I'm going to be earning from that would then offset the tuition expense for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that automatically makes it a world more affordable for many families.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times the hybrid models will be just almost just as expensive as maybe a Catholic private school, except you're only going there 2 or 3 days a week instead of five. But they aren't getting the subsidies from the parish. So it does have to cost a little bit more. But that's mm-hmm. a great way to all of a sudden now make this more affordable automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Is to be doing serving in some capacity so that you can get a tuition discount.
Yes. Education, the education landscape looks incredibly different than it did when even we were growing up.
Oh my, yes.
And I imagine over the next however many years, it's going to change even more.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I think a lot of those changes are going to mean slimmer pickings for Catholic families. They're going to have to make maybe tougher decisions, or tougher situations are going to come up for them to figure out how are they going to provide a good and true education for their children.
Mm-hmm.
But it's possible.
It is.
It's doable. And you can say yes to the things you are called to and do it while making progress towards your financial goals, instead of having to pick one or the other.
Nope. We don't want to go for the fool's choice. We want to have our cake and eat it too.
Mm.
And that's something that if this episode has been inspiring to you and you are thinking, gosh, I really do want to make this possible. I want to make progress towards this. I want to have my cake and eat it too. I want to protect what it is that our family feels called to prioritize, but I also don't want to just blow off and neglect these financial goals that we need to make progress towards. Well, why don't you start a free trial inside of our Catholic Money Academy? You can head on over to walletwin.com/startmytrial. Start my trial. And go ahead and take 2 weeks. Get on in there, kick the tires, check things out. You can cancel any time. But you'll find in there our Catholic Money course, which is our walkthrough step-by-step of our Wallet Win method, where we teach the 12 money milestones. And then you're also going to get access to ongoing financial formation. Every single month we do coaching, where you get an opportunity to ask questions and we will answer them live. And then we also provide different formative opportunities on how to maybe boost your income or save money. Or we even interview other Catholic experts in the finance world, maybe on setting up 529s, etc., tax favored giving, yada, yada, yada. We cover those types of things inside the membership. So head on over to walletwin.com/startmytrial and begin now. Until next time, bye for now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is part of the Spoke Street Network. For more great podcasts, visit SpokeStreet.com.
Thanks for joining us today. You can learn more about this show and the Wallet Win program at walletwin.com.
Music in this episode's from Dylan Gardner. Listen to his new album, Almost Real, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your music. See you next week.